If it feels like no one understands your problems or cares to listen, if it feels like there is no one else in this world who has gone through what you have, if you feel like you're so close to giving up but still holding on, Cafe with Monica was made for you. I'll show you how to deal with the everyday and not so everyday situations that surface in the lives of millennials. By sharing my experiences and knowledge, I hope to inform, inspire, and provide solutions to problems that may seem out of reach. So grab your coffee or drink of choice and let's just talk about it. Welcome to Cafe with Monica. This is episode 7. I'm Monica, your host, a millennial helping millennials to hashtag just talk about it over coffee. In this episode, we will talk about embracing who you are. I have my friend Brooke joining me to talk a little bit about her journey, specifically how her mission is to empower women, as well as how she's trying to find herself and embracing who she is in her faith as a young professional. So I can't wait for you to listen to her story and listen to some of the advice that we have to give. All right. Well, welcome, Brooke. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. So I remember when I asked you to be here, I really wanted to talk about just like women empowerment. I know you're in architecture too.
Yes.
And I know that you have a social media presence. Like, you love being behind the camera. Like, I see that.
I do. So I moved out to Dallas, and so I'm working at an architecture firm out here. Mm-hmm. But I've also found like a little niche or hobby of mine, and that's also like photography or modeling, you know. And so I broadcast it on social media, and I use it as a platform to talk to other women, to expose people to that side of me. So I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, and I was born and raised there. But of course, after Hurricane Katrina, you know, I lived in Florida for a year, and then you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Yep. Oh my God,
Florida
that makes
for
sense.
A year, and then Tennessee for 3 years, then moved back to New Orleans my junior year of high school.
Oh wow! Yeah. So now you're in Dallas. How long have you been here in Dallas?
2 years, right? I think about 2 years. So my third year.
So kind of what brought you here? What's the story behind?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, of course, my job brought me here. You know, I work for an architecture firm. We do multifamily apartments and urban design, but they also let me get involved with the community, too. So I'll speak on that, too, which is why, you know, I kind of rotated or geared towards JHP architecture firm. And so I applied for the job in school. I went to ULL in Lafayette with your husband and studied architecture there, but I had a goal set in mind, and that was to get a job before I graduated. And so, you know, like 3 months, 4 months before it was on everybody else's mind, like, I need to get a job, I started making phone calls, networking with people, and eventually it all worked out, and I ended up moving to Dallas for the firm, and, you know, just been here ever since and just been growing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that you were, like, ahead of the game, because a lot of people our age are not like that.
Right.
We like to do things last minute.
Well, because, like, I'm not a very competitive person. So my whole mindset was, like, let me beat the competition and go before, you know, before everybody was applying. And it was just a smooth, easy, it wasn't stressful, like, it was good.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, was it hard? Like, was it hard? Because I feel like... like, New Orleans has its own, like, culture. Like, and I'm sure it's tied it big in just, like, being part of, you know, your community. And was it so different, the change from coming from New Orleans to Dallas, which is, like, kind of, there's, like, so many different people
right,
here.
Right, right. So I was excited. Like, I always had a goal. Like, I like to travel, move, you know, get out of my bubble. And so I had the goal to move to Dallas. But I thought it was going to hit me sooner, like, being homesick. But no, like, the whole first year, I was happy out here. It wasn't until the second year where I really became homesick. I was missing, like, my family and being with my friends and the culture, you know. And that's when it really hit me, the beginning of last year. And so, you know, that was a little challenging, but I knew that I had to go through it. I was waiting for it. I knew that, you know, it was expected and it had to come because it was going to allow me to grow, you know. But there's been some times where I felt like, you know, what am I doing? You know, I'm just like a 24-year-old out here trying to figure it all out, you know. But, you know, every day is just a step forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. And I felt the same way when I first moved over here. Like, mm-hmm. I know I wanted to do it for myself. I know I wanted to do better things for myself.
Right.
Because I came from a small town with its own unique culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it was primarily Hispanic. So, yeah, like, when I came here and I didn't have any Hispanic friends, it was so different. I'm like, oh my God, there's this whole part of my culture that I can't.
So you understand. Yeah. And you don't have family out here either. Right?
No. Yeah. No. So I definitely understand the transition year.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So your first year, what did you do to explore Dallas, or what did you do to dive into communities in Dallas?
So I was always so busy, like on the weekends, hanging out with friends, with you guys, with my coworkers. But I got, the first thing I did was get involved with the church,
mm-hmm.
and that church, Shoreline, opened me up to just a community of like a social life and people, amazing people. And for me, like, this was another challenging thing. Like, you know, when you're home, you're surrounded by friends who influence you, you know. But when I came here, and I have a twin, so, you know, I'm always influenced by people around me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came here, I truly had to make the decision. And that's what I'm doing now. Like, who am I, you know? And so I had to make the decision to go to church and kind of figure out my own way and understand, like, you know, what does church mean to me, you know, and my religion and my faith and all of that. So that was one thing. So, you know, meeting people, socializing with them. Another thing was, you know, opening the door and stepping into photography and modeling. And I met so many amazing people, like just artists, you know, people like business-minded and just a similar mindset as me, and that just challenged me. And I remember one specific photographer that I met, and like as soon as I like got behind the camera with her, she like opened up a whole new door for me. Like, she brought that inner confidence I had out, and after that I just became so comfortable behind the camera.
Yeah.
And so I take that with me everywhere. So she allowed me to meet a lot of amazing people, so that helped out a lot.
So how do you feel behind the camera? How does that make you feel?
So being behind the camera allows me to just exercise, like, who I am. Like, you know, 20s are hard. I was just telling my friend that the 20s are hard, and I'm trying to figure out who I am. You know, when you think you have it together, you really don't. I'm trying to figure it all out. So being behind the camera allows me to basically be naked, you know, and just be comfortable, and it just gives me this high of like just confidence. I have another side of me, like I have alter egos, you know, different personalities. And so a lot of people who know me, they know like I'm very calm, soft-spoken, but like when I'm behind the camera, all sides of me come out, you know. I have like, my friend calls her Serena, so that's like my alter ego. She comes out, and it's like, but it's just so empowering, because, you know, you have to love yourself in order to be comfortable in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I do. Like, you know, I embrace like everything, my hair, my skin, you know, my body frame, you know, just you just have to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me just feel like I'm in love, you know, with who I am.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is so inspiring. Awesome. I wish I felt like that behind the camera.
You could. Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's one of my biggest fears, like being behind the camera.
Right.
Like,
right.
I was just like, I'm always, because I'll be nitpicking my flaws. Versus
exactly.
This photographer is like, this photographer is seeing, no, you're beautiful. Like, you're right. Like, you like do this, do that.
Right.
And I'm like, oh no, like this is going to show my
right.
my second chin. Like, this is going to show my chubby cheeks. Like,
yeah.
I have that fear. So it's nice to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
The positive thing of it, like being behind the camera, and how that makes you feel, like being in love with yourself.
Yeah. Because that's a big thing for me. And like flaws, I've learned how to, you know, flaws can be intimidating, you know, or like sometimes you're the only person that sees them, but you have to like just embrace all of them, embrace mm-hmm. them. And you can't rely on a photographer all the time, because mm-hmm. it's just like life. Sometimes there's people who's with you, you know, who's who got your vibe. Then there's other people that's just so strict, like, do this, do that, you know, that's not working. And so, but you just like, you know what, you know, I know who I am, and I'm gonna just own it, you know, and just have a good time.
And it's cool that you have probably, you know, done a photo shoot with different photographers, so you can mm-hmm. see, like you mentioned, some people give you direction.
Right.
And some people are just going to let you do your thing, because right. they're like, I just want to feel inspired by what you do.
Mm-hmm.
While others are like, I know what I want you to do, and I want you to do that. So I feel right. like, yeah, like that is a metaphor for life.
It
there
is,
are going to
yeah.
be people who are going to direct you in life. And then there's going to be those people who are just going to want you to embrace who you are no matter what, yep. flaws and all.
Yep. And so you just have to be naked because it's hard to get in front of a stranger, you know, and yourself too, and just like embrace who you are. Mm-hmm. That's challenging. So
do you ever get in your head before, like, what I'm saying, like, get in your head, like, you know, you start nitpicking, like, oh, like, I didn't pick a good outfit today, or I didn't do this, or...
It comes second nature just to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. I just learned to just let go and stop trying to control everything, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, and so, you know, I do architecture, too, so in a way, all of this is, like, art. So sometimes, like, the best pieces are when things don't come together, they don't work the way that you want them to, and that's in life, too, you know, so just, I try to just let all that go and just... go with the flow, like going with the flow, and just it all works out in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think our generation, that's a lot. There's a lot of people that cannot go with the flow. I mean, I struggle with that sometimes too.
I do too sometimes.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I struggle with like letting go of control because I'm afraid of if I just let everything go, if I just let, you know, God take whatever he's going to do.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen versus right. if I make my own actions, then I know exactly what's going to happen. So this brings me to that topic of like your faith. You started going to a new church.
Yes.
How was that? Because some of these listeners are going to be in Dallas and they might want to visit Shoreline.
Of course.
Yes. You know, what was your experience there? Right.
So, I'm a very social person. I like to talk and meet different people. Because I am a people person. So for me, it was just rejuvenating just to be in a place where people were so eager to come up to you and, you know, to be your friend and all of that. And just opening up, you know. But at the same time, it takes a lot to trust people too, you know. So you kind of tiptoe in the church community.
Yeah.
But I had to sit back and think about, you know, why am I going to church? It's not for just a social life, but it's for my faith. Uh-huh. And so after that year going to Shoreline, I started church hopping. So it's not just Shoreline. I went to one community, Embassy City, and some other churches, and just meeting amazing people. And that's what helped me the most, just meeting, you know, that's how I met my other friend Monica, like just from the church environment. And then there's Bible study groups and I meet them, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a community of young professionals, young adults in their 20s trying to figure it out. And that's what helped me realize, like, I'm not alone, you know, we're all dealing with things, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to find a community to where I'm comfortable again, like I was in college or with my twin, where I can just be myself completely. And so, of course, that takes like a year or two, you know, or more. And so, like, just being involved in a church exposed me to, like, different groups of people for me to just fall in where I fit in, basically, you know, let things happen naturally.
What would you say to somebody who is kind of like maybe has put in their faith in the back burner and who is maybe had a negative experience going to a church once?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What would you tell them?
Okay. So first of all, church is not about church. It's about God. And of course, community. You know, God wants community, but it's about God. And I hear a lot of times that religion can take away from God, you know, when you focus on all of that. So I hear a lot of friends who have church hurt from the Catholic Church, non-denomination, all of that, just because the church is made up out of people.
Yeah.
And whenever there's people, you are going to get hurt, or you're just going to have mixed emotions. But you have to remember that it's a community and brother and sisters. And at the end of the day, you just have to love and sometimes accept people for who they are. If they're meant to be in your life, okay. If not, then keep it moving. You know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're meant to be there for a season. But your purpose should be, your mindset should be that, you know, you're trying to focus on your relationship with God. So focus on that. Mm-hmm. And then these people are there for community. They help guide you. Don't put all your faith in them. But, you know, share your journey with them, but remember at the end of the day it's for God's grace, for his glory, you know, to get closer with him.
Yeah.
So and it hurts me when I hear people like, you know, that are hurt because they allowed the people to affect their relationship with God, and we're all, you know, victims to that, you know.
Yeah. With some clients, like I've had some clients who say, you know, I've been through spiritual trauma, I've been part of a church that pretty much disowned me,
and it hurts
me. And it hurts a lot. But I've also heard how they went back and they decided that, okay, these people didn't want me for whatever reason, but there is another community mm-hmm. who was accepting with open arms and actually was following Jesus. Like, they right. weren't saying, okay, you're not going to church, so you're just a bad person.
Right,
and that's
right.
another misconception it is. Where people say, like, you don't go to church, you're right. a bad person.
Right. It is a misconception because, let's be honest, some people go to church are bad people. You know, it's a cover-up, or they get stuck in religion or the social life, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's either way, like, it's all about your relationship with God, your mm-hmm. journey and your purpose. And sometimes you just got to either cut people out of your life that's like that or help them, you know, grow. But for me, like, I like talking to people. So if I feel, like, uneasy about something, you know, I'll talk to them face to face, especially because, to be honest, like, the enemy, the devil, don't want you to have friends or, you know, girlfriends, you know, because there's power in isolation as well. Mm-hmm. So when you keep seeing the flaws in everybody else, you know, and you don't learn how to accept people for who they are, then you isolate yourself and you end up hurting yourself more, because mm-hmm. even though they hurt you, you're digging into that even more, you know, mm-hmm. like. And then another part of it is not knowing what God says about you and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a personal experience for me, something I'm struggling with, and like I said, I'm in my 20s trying to figure it out, but a church hurt for me would be, since I do all of this modeling, you know, on the side, you know, for fun, there's this huge argument about, you know, the extent of a woman, you know, a woman of God, you know, and how much is too much when it comes to photography, you know, and bearing skin, mm-hmm. you know, and being, what is confidence, you know? Is confidence just wearing clothes and just owning that, or is it, like, just me embracing every part of my body?
Mm-hmm.
And so I get comments from church, from friends, you know, like, if it is too much or if it's not, you know. And so now I'm in this phase trying to figure out, you know, who I am, excuse me, and, like, what do I think, you know, woman of God is, you know? Can we be confident, you know, educated, and sexy, you know? Because mm-hmm. as soon as you say that word, people are like, wait, like, a Christian woman being, you know, sexy?
Yeah.
But I feel like God made us women, so we have to. I know we're gonna hit on that topic later, but
oh no,
we're supposed
roll with
to.
It roll with it, girl.
But that's a church hurt, yeah. You know, because I had some comments made to me, and so, you know, I had to, like, almost figure out, like, do I want to let that go, you know? Or, you know, what side of the argument do I want to take? And honestly, I'm trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because one of them, you know, on one of my posts, I have a picture with a part of my breast showing, you know, and that can come off in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you know, growing up, I always struggled. One of my insecurities was just my breast size,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
oh my
I used
God,
to be,
me too. Me
I don't
too.
Want to hear
I'm
that.
Super small. Like, I was super small.
Right.
And then I just had, like, these boobs that just
oh,
came
yeah.
out.
Oh, yeah. See, you were one of the lucky ones. I'm just playing now. But, but no, like, I used to be insecure about it. But then, like, getting behind the camera and just owning it, you know, and posting about it and showing women that you don't have to look like, excuse me, what everybody else is telling you, you know, for you to be beautiful, you know. And so, like, my body frame represents a group of women. Somebody else's body frame, your body frame represents.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like my job is to show women, like, hey, you know, this is what God gave you. He made no mistake. Own it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that was a church hurt, you know. And so I'm trying to figure out where I stand on that, you know.
Yeah, because, and I think we've had this conversation before, because I've personally made assumptions about you, like, oh, like, Brooke is really quiet, but then she has, like, this whole total, like you said, like, your alter ego,
yeah.
where you're just, like, a badass, and I'm just, yeah. like, but you can be both, you know?
You
can be quiet and reserved,
right.
but also be, you know,
right,
outgoing
right.
in front of a camera. Like, so I think that, you know, as a human being, we see, like, okay, there's two different people that we see. One that we see on social media, and then
mm-hmm.
one we see in person. And so, is this fake? Or
right,
is this,
right, right.
or they, do they have these two
right.
different types of sides to themselves? So for your followers, what type of woman are you trying to portray?
Okay, that was a good question. I remember reading that. For me, it would be just that, yes, we are women, but we're not perfect. We don't have to have it all together,
mm-hmm.
you know, together all of the time. But at the same time, God made no mistake. So, you know, just owning who we are, you know, especially being a woman growing up in today's world, you know, we have so many things being thrown at us, like how we should look, how we should talk, you know, what we should study in school. And just, you know what, like, just owning, like, who you are. Don't, I'm trying to show people, like, don't try to change yourself for the good of other people, you know, don't try to be what everybody else is. Be you, like, be what makes you unique, you know, and just own it and love you. And that's the biggest thing for me, is that, you know, to show women, like, this life is hard, you know, and it's not perfect, and we have to go through a lot, but at the end of the day, you have to love yourself, because if you don't, you can't expect somebody else to love you, you know. You gotta have self-happiness, and that's my biggest thing, you know.
Yeah. Like, my best friend and I, she had this... There was like this inner conflict about, like, because in Laredo, it's just a different culture. And so she was afraid to even go to a bar. Like, she was afraid to even go to, because it was, she was afraid of how that was going to come back to the church. How that was going to, oh, she goes to a bar. Mm-hmm. Oh, she likes to dance. Even though she'll just go to dance, like, you know, not to drink alcohol and get super drunk or whatever. Like, she literally would just want to go to dance. Right. But so there was always that thing, like,
it's like you're tiptoeing.
Yeah, your faith and with who you are.
Right. And so that's another thing that I should have mentioned, that I'm trying to show my followers, and that I said before. A woman can be all, from what I believe, a woman can be all those things. You know, smart, educated, quiet, calm, fierce, confident, even insecure if she has to in times, but also sexy and beautiful and fierce, you know, and conceited, cocky a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, we can be all those things, and that's what I'm trying to show them. Like, when I try to post videos, my soft-spoken, like, voice, you know, people be like, I don't, from seeing your pictures, I wouldn't think you sound like that, but that's how I sound.
That's crazy.
You know, I know. But, like, just, you know, that we can be all of those things, and I definitely understand where your friend is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it does feel like you have to tiptoe around the church community, but that's why the church should be a church. Like, we're all trying to figure this out, you know, just trying to figure out who we are, and just being afraid of somebody pointing their fingers at you and condemning you themselves, you know.
Yeah.
And so right now I'm just trying to get heavy in the word and see what it is God says about us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like my biggest thing right now.
That's awesome. I love what you're doing. I can understand more, you
good,
know,
because
I was always curious about that. Mm-hmm. Like, who is Brooke? Like, who, you know, who is she trying to be? Or is she just
trying to figure that out.
Yeah. But I think you're being your authentic self, like being unapologetic, being like, it's okay to show some skin and go to church and walk in your faith and just do all the things that you want to do. Like, why is there... There is no, the Bible's not going to show a list of, okay, this is what you should be doing. Like, this is who you should be.
I mean, that's the tricky part, because the hardest thing for me is I don't want to lead another woman down the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, I'm trying to figure out what is it that the Bible says about a woman.
Yeah.
It's easy to read it, you know, but now I'm have this shift, this mindset. Okay, so what is it that the Bible says, that God says about me? So I'm trying to figure that out, you know. Just like, where, what is our role in the world? And so I'm trying now to expose that more in my social media. Like, you know, like, yes, I'm sharing the word, but I still don't know everything.
Yeah, it's
you
totally
know,
fine.
So I may be wrong about a few things, but I'm open for conversation.
Yeah, and then the only way you can have a conversation is by starting one.
Right,
you
by
know?
Starting
yeah,
one.
Yeah, like, if people... and some people are going to be uncomfortable. Some people are not going to agree with what you're saying. Some people, you're going to hear different types of...
That happens.
You know, like you said, you had church hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had people who said, who don't agree with what you're doing. Who may say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Like, if I would, you know, if I was
right,
her.
Right.
Or, like, she's super shy. Like, what? You know? So, yeah, I totally get that. Like, I totally get that. I wanted to talk about the fact that, so you do have influence. I just want you to know that you do have influence. You know that, right?
I recognize I have a platform.
Yeah. You have to recognize that, and you have to own that. It took me a while to recognize I have an influence, whether that be one or two people.
Right.
You have an influence.
Still important.
All of us have influences, you know? So if I can give you any advice, it would be to make sure that you're just your authentic self. And I think that you're doing an awesome job for that.
Thank you.
And that you not be afraid to share those hard topics, because this is what this podcast is all about. Like, this podcast is to obviously get to know you, because there is going to be a woman that resonates with your story, or a man that resonates with your story. It doesn't just have to be a woman. There has to be a man too, who is walking in their faith, who's trying to be influential, who's also you know, shy and reserved, but also wants to be this awesome, like, handsome sexy man, you know. So I think it's okay to just own that you have influence. And with that being said, now, are you ever afraid of how your social media presence is going to affect your work life?
Yes, I do. Because, I mean, I think any professional would, at least, like, responsible professional would at least consider it, you know, think about it. So that's one thing that, you know, that helps me stay in line too, because I'm like, a lot of times if my principles are firm, like, if they think it's going to be too much, I'm like, that's definitely too much, because sometimes you can't get lost behind the camera, like, ooh, this is going to be cute, this is going to be nice. And I do have pictures like that, but I don't share, you know, that's for me. But I do worry about, you know, what type of image, you know, I'm giving off. Like, I represent my firm at the same time, you know, and let's be honest, like, I'm in architecture, so it's a lot of men, you know, and so, you know, I'm making sure that I'm not doing too much, but at the same time, I don't want to hold back, you know, like, I just want to be me and fierce and own, like, the tools God gave me, and that's being a woman in itself. And so,
does it ever come up, like, at work, where they're like, oh, Brooke, I saw your picture?
My friends make fun of me. Like, they all give me a hard time. And Adam, like, he thinks I have, like, the secret life. You know?
Yeah, I think we both thought of that. Like,
Brooke
has a secret life. Like,
it's just who I am. Like, that side. Okay, so at work, you know, professionally, you know, I'm trying to work on this. I'm a little more conservative and a little more quiet. And I'm trying to take on more leadership role, you know. And that's just me being sometimes being insecure, but also I'm a very calm person. I don't like stress. So, and that's how I like to handle the day. Just calm, quiet, talk slow, you know. Now, when I'm with, like, some of my close friends, I start talking faster like this. My accent comes out, you know. But, like, at work, so I have that side of me. With friends, I have that side. Behind the camera, I have this other side. And so I'm trying to figure out, how do I combine all of that, you know? How can I, you know, walk into a meeting room and own it, like, be confident, you know? But that's intimidating when you're sitting with men that have, like, 20, 30 years of experience that know more than you, and I'm just coming with my little floor plans, like, I did this, you know? Look what I drew, you know?
And also, architecture is still a white dominant, profession. Not to say, like, that's anything bad or anything, but it is. And as a woman of color, your voice is silenced even more.
It can be.
You kind of have to be louder.
But I use it. This is, like, the way I'm made. And so I told you earlier, when we was talking one day, that I like to wear a lot of black. I'm surprised I'm not wearing it today. I wear a lot of black, and it's not just from being in architecture, but for me, one way that I let myself show, like, in the firm and, like, my signature, is that I wear all black, and I let my hair and a lot of times my shoes too, I let that do the talking for me, you know? And so they had times where I walk in the meeting room and there'd be, like, engineers or consultants, and I'd go to reintroduce myself, and they're like, I remember you. You're the girl with the cool hair. And I'm like, it works, you know?
It works, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's just my signature. And so it could be a barrier, you know, but I try to find, it's all about the way you look at it, like, the way that you receive it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm different, you know, and I am a minority, but I'm going to use it. I'm going to make sure they remember me, you know? And so the only thing I say I have to work on now is speaking up, having more confidence in leadership. And so I've been really trying to tackle that.
And I think that's a lot of people our age, especially young working professionals, is wanting a seat at the table, and a powerful table, a table of influence, right? So this could be those big meetings where when they're making decisions about design or whatever. It's just wanting to have a seat at the table. So, like, how do you do that? How do you get yourself a seat at the table?
Just doing more than what's expected, I would say. Like, always putting in 200 when they expect 100. Like, just putting in more. And for me, it can be very hard because I'm so soft-spoken. Mm-hmm. So being in a big crowd, you know, of people, it's hard for me to speak up. I'm like, excuse me, like, I got something to say. Yeah. But, you know, I just saw a movie the other day. What movie was that? It was a really good movie. I Feel Beautiful. Uh-huh. You know what I'm talking about? It's a movie. Anyway, she hits her head, and she all of a sudden, all her insecurities are gone, and she just thinks she's the hottest thing in the world. But anyway, she ends up working for this woman who has a very soft-spoken voice. And right off the bat, I connected with that woman so much because it empowered me because her voice was softer than mine. It was very high-pitched, but it was like she was like the lead person at her firm, the boss. And so when she spoke, even though she had a soft-spoken voice, everybody listened. She didn't have to raise her voice, you know. She just had her etiquette and was just
this
so,
with Amy?
Yes.
Okay. Amy, yeah. Sherman, yeah. Yes.
And
oh, so I love
like, and her voice can be very high-pitched. The boss, yeah. You know, I forgot her name, could be very high-pitched. But I connected with her because I'm like, you know what, my voice is soft-spoken. But thinking about, you know, if this was a real person, everything she had to go through to get to that spot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's just so beautiful that like all she does is speak and people listen and her voice is just so soft-spoken. And mm-hmm. that's how I want to be. I don't want to change myself. I want to keep my soft-spoken voice.
Yeah.
And you know, when people hear it, they'll be like, oh, I didn't think you sound like that. But I'm educated and I know what mm-hmm. I'm talking about and I can back it up. And I connected to her a lot.
Yeah. And so like, let me just clarify, when I say your voice has to be louder, I don't mean
I understand
like tone,
what you're saying. Right.
Like to all our listeners, I mean like when you got to say something, it's got to be with intention. Like
intention.
I think as a young person, we don't think about what we're going to say. We're just going to say it. Sometimes that's good.
Yeah.
Sometimes that you got to, if you're somebody who's really shy and you just don't, you just want to say something like you can, but everybody's listening. Everybody's listening to what you're saying, so you kind of make sure that you're saying things with intention so that people can hear you, so your voice becomes louder as a young professional.
Right.
But yeah, like it doesn't matter like if your tone of voice is mm-hmm. you know like soft or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For me, sometimes I felt very intimidated by women who are really loud.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm from New Orleans, so, like, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be insecure about that. Like, why am I not louder, you know, or speaking like that?
Yeah.
But
I felt like that, like, oh, like, who does this woman think she is? And I catch myself, like, no, like, that's how she is.
That's how she is,
that's
right.
That's how she is. Like, I just gotta be okay with it.
Right.
You know? It's those people, and sometimes it's okay. Like, I've had to tell people, like, hey, like, I was actually gonna say something and you interrupted me.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, you know those people.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of issues with trying to make friends with other women because I'm an ambitious person.
Right.
And so if that other person is not ambitious, they see me as competition. And I'm like, girl, no, like you're doing your thing.
Right.
I'm doing my thing. Like there's no competition.
Right. It's drilled in us that we're competing with each other. And like womanhood is so important. Sisterhood is so important. You know, we have to understand that we got to accept each other for who we are and not like just, you know, point out fingers at somebody or feel like they have to be some type of hostility or competition. You know, like if we have two different skill sets, you know, we can come together and make and reach our purpose, you know, for a greater good instead of being by ourselves, being separated, you know, like two minds alike, you know, like just coming together, you know, or two completely different people coming together and amazing things like you can create, design, come up with, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's a big thing. And I really do feel that, you know, like the devil, the enemy is really trying to break sisterhood apart because he knows how powerful it is when two women come together and put their minds, their hearts, passion, and purpose together.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, I 100% agree with that. Because I also see generational competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had some older women who I've just seen as amazing mentors. Like, they're like, like I would be you, but no, but I know I have to walk my own, you know, my own path. But then I've seen other older women who are just like, they see you coming
and
they're
they
like,
don't wanna support you.
They don't want to support you in any way.
Yeah.
And I know it stems from their own insecurities. But yeah, that's kind of been one of the hardest things for me as
it
a young professional.
Yeah, and so for anyone, like, who's listening to this, like, the only advice I can say is just that, you know, if they're not meant to be there, okay. Like, you can look up to them from afar, grab mm-hmm. certain aspects from them, but don't be like them, you know. And you, God will bless you with women who's going to lead you, support you, lift you up. And I just found out that you need disciples in your life. You need to be a disciple. You need to pour into somebody, mm-hmm. but you also need a disciple pouring into you. Mm-hmm. So you got to find those people. And it's okay if it's not the person you imagine. Like, if I looked up to Beyonce, I finally met her, but she's like, I don't want to support you. Yeah. I can grab certain aspects from her, you know, but at the end of the day, she's not meant to be my disciple. I can find somebody else, you know, who want to pour into me and invest. And so I would influence any woman and any man. Like, you got to find somebody that you look up to, you know, that's going to guide you, you know, that went through everything that you're about to go through, you know. And at the same end of the day, you have to do that for somebody else.
Yeah, because I feel like in your 20s, it's a hard mm-hmm. thing to do. Like, we're so pressured to yes. get married, to have babies. I also caught myself, like, I remember one day, and you probably don't remember this, but I remember one day asking you, hey, are you dating anybody?
I remember.
Like, that's a goal. Like, that's not, no, I should have asked yeah. you, like, what the heck are you doing? You know, like, your yeah. goals, like, the goal.
But don't hold it against yeah. yourself, you know? I mean, yeah. yeah, like, I mean, we ask each other that yeah. all the time. Like, it's like, okay,
it's
yeah.
like a thing, you know?
It's a girl thing. But we are in a society where people are like, you're 25, like, you should at least be dating somebody. Yeah. You should be married by now, you know? But, like, I remember having this conversation, but at least where I'm at right now, like, I believe in the power of singleness before coming together with somebody, you know, understanding what my purpose is, mm-hmm. grabbing hold of that and grabbing hold of my happiness. Mm-hmm. And that way, you know, God's calling me to do something. And so when he calls me to share that with somebody else, you know, I'm not just pulling on them. Like, I'm like, hey, I got something to do. You got something to do. We mm-hmm. come together. You know, God's going to use both of us, you know, to grow, but not to get my happiness from this world. And I just read something in the passage. I forgot the exact verse, but basically you have to die to yourself, mm-hmm. you know, not be a part of this world, but die for Jesus, you know. And I know that can, for some people, that can be like, wait, what? But that basically means, like, just not being of the ways of this world, you know, mm-hmm. and being uncomfortable and figuring out your purpose, you know, and letting go of all those things that's, like, holding you back and that you may feel comfortable in, but it's not what you need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, following your purpose, basically.
Yeah, I agree. We're like in this generation of instant like we want yes. instant gratification. We want things to happen now.
Right.
We want to make that six-figure salary. Right. Like, it's like,
and they're all, you can have all yeah. those things, you know, and marriage is completely important, you mm-hmm. know, and like, you just got married 2 weeks and, you know, I'm so happy for you that you found that person, you know. But that's something that we just can't rush, and it's not an end goal, that mm-hmm. seven-figure salary, you know, marriage is not an end goal, mm-hmm. you know, having a social life. What's important is the journey and the steps that you take in between, because once you make that seven-figure, you know, or once you get married, it gets harder, you know, I believe. Like, there's just more challenges, mm-hmm. more, like, pressures that's, you know, being placed on you. Like, for example, tithing, mm-hmm. you know, it's easy, it's okay. Yeah, you may think it's, like, hard to tithe, you know, like, out of your paycheck if you're making, like, $1,000-something and tithing, like, $140. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, no, I'm going to just tithe when I make it, when I get all this money. But when you're making, like, $10,000, it's time for you to tithe, like, 10%. You know, that's more money. So you got to work on yourself now, you know, before you start, you know, you have to be prepared for yeah. the things that you want. Like, God will give it to you, but you got to be prepared, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think I always believe when you invest in somebody else, they invest in you. Yes. I've had that happen now. Like, as I'm starting this podcast and I'm getting to meet women in DFW, mm-hmm. I was so afraid, like, oh my God, like, these people are not going to, I have that fear of, like, I'm not going to be liked or whatever, or this person has a podcast, they're going to think I'm in competition with them. Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Like, I've had nothing but oh my God, yes, I have a podcast. Let me talk to you. These right. are some of the mistakes I did when I first started. Mm-hmm. I want to be in your podcast. You could be in mine. Like, it was amazing to that I'm building a community with other people. Good. 'Cause that's what I thought, you know, that's what I was missing.
Right.
This past year, you know, and we've had a conversation, was it, I don't know, it was in January, where we like cried.
Yeah.
And we were just like, and it was all about, you know, a stupid situation. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad, like, now it's, like, it's gotten us closer together. Right. But, yeah, like, last year was a really hard year for me because right. it was, like, I was trying to be myself and that hurt other people. Mm-hmm. And I never want to be myself mm-hmm. and hurt other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand that. And mm-hmm. From that conversation, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like I have to tiptoe, and because I, for me being myself, I don't want to hurt other people as well.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're all in control of our happiness.
Yeah.
And so you have to not be afraid to be yourself. Mm-hmm. I think the maturity comes with it. That the important part is being mature about it and talking.
Yeah.
To that person about mm-hmm. it. Like, hey, you know, I'm sorry that I hurt you, but this is who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, and we can talk about it. What are the things that I can do? You know, it's not a perfect world. You know, yeah. it doesn't happen. But I say, like, be yourself. But it life can be hard when you're so worried about hurting other people all the time.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. And I had to actually, and that's, I'm going to be open with this. Like, I'm going back to therapy because that was one of the things. I see therapy as something healing for me. Like, right. I'm in the season of healing. I'm in the season mm-hmm. of trying to be the best wife that I can possibly mm-hmm. be. And those were things that I'm just glad that there was a lot of courage to even tell you, like, this hurt me, Brooke.
Right.
Like, this hurt me.
And I was
one of those people that I'm like, no, I'm just gonna let it go. But it was still gonna sit with me.
Right. Right.
So after having that conversation, I knew, like, I'm so happy that I had that conversation. Good. So I want everybody to know, like, if you're being your genuine self, but that does hurt somebody else, and know that the only thing that you can do is talk to that person. Right. Try to do better for next time. Mm-hmm. But if they still don't accept that apology, or they still don't accept who you are, then that's okay.
Right.
You've done what you could do.
It's okay. Like, they were there for a season. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, like, it's going to happen multiple times where you hurt. When you, the closer you get with people, the more it's going to happen. You're going to hurt them more mm-hmm. and more, you know. But that's just being yourself. But a good friendship is when you're able to come and talk about it. There's some mm-hmm. people who's going to walk away, but good friends are people. My friend and I was just watching Girls yeah. Trip last night.
Oh, that's such a good movie. And
I've had that experience when my best friend and I went through a very low time in my life, and my friend kind of, like, we broke apart mm-hmm. and walked away from each other. But, like, at the end of the day, like, she seen me at my lowest. And so has my twin and some other friends. But we always come back.
Yeah.
And, like, the beauty is that, like, just coming back to each other and, like, seeing each other at our lowest. Like, I'm telling, like, she seen me at my lowest and still loving me after that. Like, she had to take 2 weeks. We laugh about it. She had to take 2 weeks to, like, shake it off and figure it all out. But, like, we just came back and we cried it out and talked about it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's so beautiful. And I'm trying to encourage women, like, you have to find sisterhood. You have to find friends like that. Like, yeah, social media is all good. It's all nice to be social and talk with people, to be popular. But no, you need some good girls in your corner to back you up like yeah. that.
And yeah, I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. I, you know, when I start following somebody and I see that they're in Dallas, like, I'll message them and I'll be like, I want to go get coffee with you. Like, I love who you are on social media. Mm-hmm, like, it brings me joy. So I just want to get to know you. Like, I want to have coffee. Like, I want to know what the heck you're doing.
Right.
Because I don't know in some way how we can help each other out or grow each other.
Right.
But yeah, it's not about how... It's awesome to have virtual friends. Like, I also have people that have just been encouraging me, and they're so sweet. I'm good. Like, I don't even know you, and you're from, like, California.
That is so sweet. And that's what's so beautiful about it. Yeah. You know?
I think people, social media can be a negative thing and a good thing.
Yes.
But you're the one who can, you can enter that platform and figure out what you want out of it. If right. it's not making you feel good, then that means you got to step away from it.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, there's times where I have to, like, because, you know, even though, and I need to work on that, because a lot of times mm-hmm. I show, like, the confident side of me,
uh-huh.
but then I still struggle with insecurities.
Yeah.
And I compare myself to other women, and not just, like, physically, but spirit, and I know that's one of the questions, like, spiritually, too. And so sometimes I got to step away. you know, and realize, like, who am I and why am I doing this, you know, and then I'll go back onto social media.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it can be very challenging.
And I just watched, I watched this video, and if anybody is not following Hey Sweet Pea, they're a couple, they're just so genuinely themselves, and she talked about Instagram and how being present on Instagram and about consistency, how some people think that you have to be on social every single day or people are just going to unfollow you.
Nope.
Of course, yes, they're going to unfollow you, but that's okay.
I'm not about to let it kill me.
No. Yeah, like, I struggled with that. Like, I wanted to be consistent. And I'm like, am I doing this because I want to be, like, doing a post every day?
Right.
Or because I love it? And so now I'm doing it to where, like, if I want to post, I'll post. And I like posting every day. Like, that's just something I like to do. But I don't invest, like, 100% of my time just being on Instagram, because that's not being in the moment.
No, yeah, definitely. It takes away from the moment. And it can allow you to disconnect from your friends, like, that's in front of you as well. You know, so you have to balance it, you know. But it can be very challenging. But it's all about mindset and the way you look at it, you know. So I try to use it. You know, I realize, like, this is a platform, you know. So how can I use it, God? You know, how can you use me to give glory to you, you know? But sometimes it can be hard. I try to be consistent. I try to post, because I told you I was going to do the faith and architecture vlogs. But I started losing my purpose when I was like, okay, I got to do a video every week. And
you
I lost my
purpose. You
need to
figure out your why. You know, why are you doing this? Right. And also consistency. So I've kind of reframed what consistency means to me. Mm-hmm. Consistency doesn't mean that I'm posting every day. Consistency means that when I'm posting, it is the same message that every day I want to put out there, and that every day I'm trying to influence people to follow that message. Mm-hmm. And that does not mean that I have to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and posting it every day. I can do that if I want to. No one's stopping me. But if I don't feel one day like I can't post because I'm not in line with my purpose, then I'm just not going to post. I'm going to exit that situation, do my self-care, and then come back when I'm 100% back. And if I'm feeling this way, you know, for weeks, and I'm not, my message is not what I'm trying, you know, it's not coming out in what I'm writing, then I got to have to look back and I'm like, okay, so have I lost this purpose? Am I supposed to, maybe it's guiding me to do something else, to say a different message, and that's okay.
So you have to, like, pay attention and listen to all of that. But it can definitely influence, you know, the why. You know, like, trying to stay relevant in social media. It can be challenging.
And because I know, so you want to do vlogs for, so it's faith, architecture.
It's basically faith and architecture, but all of that is also surrounded by womanhood, like being a woman in today's society and figuring out our worth. Well, but understanding who we are.
The best advice I could give to you is just do it.
I know,
you know,
you're
just
right,
do it, because it's so hard sometimes to, we do a video and we're like, oh, I don't want to post this. Obviously, lean on your friends, lean on the people that have done this before, share it with them, but also be like, if you really love it, if you love it, just post it. You know? Because you are going to lose followers. There's going to be some people that are like,
all the time,
I don't
that
know
don't agree with you.
But there are people that are going to stay and get to know you more. I've learned being vulnerable on Instagram has helped me be more of a, because I'm a counselor, for those who don't know. And I know that that's helped me be a human being. Like, I want people to know, when people come to me, like, I'm a human being. Like, I'm not this person that is 100% perfect and I'm just going to be like, like, my life is so right.
Sunshine and flowers every day.
My life is so right that I'm going to walk you through things perfectly. Heck no. I always tell people, like, you are the expert in your story. And I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to help you reflect on what you're going through and help you build tools so that you can continue moving forward. But yeah, just do that. Like, if you have a passion for faith and do you have a passion for architecture, and I love how you described architecture as an art form, you know, like, it is an art form. And I feel like you're an artist. Like, you are an artist. Even when you show up as a model, like, that is,
that's
being an artist.
That's the mindset I try to have. And just that, you know, the things that you can create, you know, with architecture, with photography, modeling, mm-hmm. you know, just embracing all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out how do I collaborate it. Because in a way, architecture, I can relate it to fate. Like, all the components in it, it's just crazy. Like, yeah. just how it can relate it to religion and faith.
Yeah. yeah. And one of the things that I was stuck on is, like, am I going to run out of things to say?
But you don't.
But you don't. Mm-hmm. Like, one thing, you end up talking about one thing, and then your one of your followers comments something. You're like, oh, my right. God, like, I'm going to talk about that.
I'm going to talk about that. Right, right.
You know, so yep. don't be afraid about that either, right. like, that you're going to run out of things to say. Like, we're never going to run out of things to right. say. And, yeah, just figure out who your people, like, who mm-hmm. your audience is. That was hard for me, too. Like, yeah. who is my audience? Like, right. who do I want?
I think I have a good idea of just women that's just like me, a woman who's like struggling, insecurities. And I try to remember how I felt going through hard times where I didn't love myself, mm-hmm. going through a breakup, you know, just challenging times in my life mm-hmm. and how I felt. And like, it's hard for me. It hurts to imagine another woman who's going through that but don't have family or friends or don't understand their worth. And that really does hurt me. And so mm-hmm. I'm really trying to just grab them and just show them, like, you are loved, yeah. you're beautiful, you know, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Building a community of women who can empower each other, who mm-hmm. can be okay with themselves, flaws and all, right. Perfections and all. Right. Like, yeah, like, that really does, like, that message gravitates a right. lot with me, because that's what I'm trying to do as well. Not just with women, but also with men, because I think, like, I mean, me and Adam were just talking about, like, I just joined a community of women of entrepreneurs, and he's yep. trying to find that too, like, a community of male entrepreneurs mm-hmm. Who are struggling too with, right. you know, all these, all the things about entrepreneurship and also having a 9-to-5 job. Wanting yeah, to prove himself hard. In the job, just yep. like you as a young professional, you're trying to prove yourself, trying to put your voice yep. in the important meetings. What did you wish people knew about you that they don't?
I feel like I need to expose more of my design, like my passion for design, for architecture, and just I have like so many designs going on in my head and things that I want to do and get out, and I want to share that, you know, and I want to show like a woman in architecture and doing modeling, so educated but confident, sexy, all of those things. And I just like I have all these ideas, things I want to design and stuff, and so I want to share that side of me with people. Mm-hmm. I know I share a lot of my pictures, but I don't share the architecture side, so I'm yeah. trying to figure out how to. It's really challenging because I don't want to lose my passion in architecture, so I'm trying not to jeopardize it, but at the same time, like, I want to share that with people. But I also want to share this journey with other women. And so I'm trying to get a few things in the works. And I got something I'm planning for later on in the year. Yay. But it's really going to be towards gathering women and getting them in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And, like, instead of me, but, like, posting other women and letting them show their insecurities and posting yeah. it on my page. And, like, so I'm trying to get that forward. Because mm-hmm. it's less about me and more about them. Like, I want them yeah, you know, to show yeah. and just share that. So I would say that's something, I guess.
It's okay. I'm like super excited about that project.
Yeah,
like,
yeah I'm gonna let you, I'm working on it.
Hey,
so I'm definitely gonna be hitting you up and asking, you know.
Yeah
I'm excited too.
Yeah, but just know it's your vision. Yep. And you know the best how to put your vision.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best thing that Adam, my husband, helps me mm-hmm. is when I have doubts about my vision, he kind of reaffirms what I just, like, literally, he could say the same thing that I've said before, but I hear him more
right.
than my own self. And so sometimes,
that's what he's there for, yeah, yeah.
you know, so sometimes you do have to, like, have your friends just kind of retell you, like,
this. It's important.
You gotta
yeah.
do it.
Yep, so my friends keep me in check.
Yeah.
All the time. My twins, he keeps me in check. That's and you awesome. Need that, yeah. yeah.
Well, Brooke, thank you so much for talking to us. We covered a lot of things.
We did.
Yeah. Man, I wish this could be like a 2-hour
I know,
episode,
I know.
But we're kind of hitting an hour, but thank you so much for coming. Yes, I think that someone's going to resonate with your story a lot.
I hope so. I really do. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Cafe with Monica. This was made for you. So be sure to visit cafewithmonica.com to access the show notes, where I write tips and additional resources for this episode in a location convenient for you. And if you love this episode and found value and can't wait to hear more, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. It would mean the world to me. I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. So see you guys next time.